Welcome back to Nachyomi. Today we are learning together Mizmor Samach Vav, the 66th chapter in the book of Tehillim. Let's take a quick look at this in terms of overview. This Mizmor consists of 20 psukim. It's a little longer than the ones we've been learning up till now, and it is comprised of five sections. Here's the progression. The first section of psukim Aleph to Dalet 1-4 is a call on all inhabitants of the earth to praise God. Lechu, it starts off by saying, Hariu lelokim kol ha'aretz, everybody should praise and call out to God. The next section, Psukim Hei to Zion, 5-7, is a description of the wonders that Hashem has done for His people. L'chu re'u mifalos elokim, go see the great actions that Hashem has done. One of them being Hafach Yam le'yavasha, He turned a sea to dry land. Then in the next section, 8-12, Ches to Yud Beis, He describes the situations from which he or they have been saved. And in the next section, Yud Gimel to Tezvov, 13-15, He announces His promise to pay back Hashem, to bring the Korbanos. He made promises a neder to do when He was in distress. And finally, concluding with the fifth and last section, which is Tez Zayin to Chof, 16-20, as a supplication for the acceptance of Tefillah as a whole. Please Hashem answer my Tefillah, and the appreciation that the Tefillah is answered. In terms of the central themes, there seems to be a general theme of thanksgiving, and if we want to put the different pieces together here, there seems to be praising Hashem, being saved from something terrible, and also bringing korbanos. How do we merge all of those into one theme? So one way of looking at this is that this mizmor could have been said accompanying a korban, accompanying a sacrifice which was brought when a person was saved from a predicament. So it's all of these ideas are being brought together. This is the emotional, musical accompaniment of this expression of release from a predicament. There's also an element of universalism in this mizmor. The mizmor starts off telling and calling the whole world to thank and recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Ribono Shel Olam, even though it is true that he goes on to mention the unique miracles which seem to be Israel-centric. Nonetheless, there's a responsibility, a moral responsibility, to reference and to appreciate Hashem and His hidden hand in the workings of the world. Another theme within this is not just thanksgiving and universalism, but the responsibility of reporting. As an example, in Pasuk Tes Zion, the beginning of the last section, he cries out, listen, go and hear. Let me tell all those who fear God what that which Hashem has done for my soul. And it's very similar to in Pasuk. See the great actions of Hashem to all humanity. That's more universal. He has more particular. There seems to be a responsibility that he needs to share what has gone on. And that's perhaps maybe the mission statement of this mizmor as a whole. Maybe that's the point of him writing this down, is because this mizmor is in fact encapsulating his experience and his expression of that gratitude at his salvation. In terms of the events behind this mizmor, there are no specific events which are referenced other than perhaps Kriyas Yamsof or the splitting of the Jordan River, but the general salvation is couched in very general terms, obviously making it accessible to people on all levels in all of their own predicaments. But it is worthwhile noting that the voice of salvation shifts from plural to singular. So for instance, when he describes how there's been salvation, he describes it as Heve sonu bamitsuda samtomeuka bemosneinu, that you, HaKadosh Baruch, you brought us to a refuge, and it is us who are being saved. But when he talks about payback time, where he's now going to bring korbanos in recognition of that fact, it now returns to the singular. So, for instance, in Pasuk Yud Gimel, Ava ve'secho ba'olais ashalem l'cho nidorai, I'll pay back the promises I made. It is a very abrupt change from the salvation being plural and the promises being made in singular. How do we account for this? So the Da'at Mikra, Rav Amos Chacham, suggests it could be that the person speaking in this mizmor is the king himself. So when he was in battle, he was making a commitment on behalf of the entire people. And therefore, that being the case, the king himself is therefore going to pay his own personal karbanos, which he made on behalf of the people. So in the time of Mitzuka, in the time of difficulty, it was on behalf of everybody, but it was actually his own personal commitment. Now, the way of looking at this is it could be an individual who is in a difficult situation. Like any one of us, when we go through difficult situations, we call out to Hashem. But there's a notion of calling out to Hashem when we are in a more plural sense. On Rosh Hashanah, we say, as based on the words of the Isha Shunamis, the woman from Shunem, when she turned to Elisha or to Gehazi, she said, "I'm sit among my people. I don't want to stand out. I want to submerge myself in the needs of the community. So too, when a person is in a difficult situation, they don't just pray about themselves, they pray about all the needs of other people in similar situations. That's why the Shemona Esra, the Amida, is in plural, even though it is referring to individual requests as well. The Ibn Ezra points out that there is no author, there is no Misharer that is distinguished in the Kotevet. In the introduction, he has just Lamanatzeach. It is Lamanatzeach Shir Mizmor, there's no Le Davidia. And he suggests that maybe it was actually said by one of the other courtiers, one of the other Mishorerim, who were in the times of the Beis HaMikdash. The Malbim has a very fascinating suggestion, and that is he attributes this Mizmor to a particular episode that takes place in Sefer Melachim about the person by the name of Menashe ben Chizkia. Menashe ben Chizkia was the king of the Judean province of the southern kingdom. Chizkia was a tremendous king. He was a great tzaddik, but he begot a son who was a very, very terrible Rasha. Menashe himself is accused of killing his own grandfather, Yeshayahu HaNavi. He brings Avodah Zorah and Assyrian culture into all of the whole area. He actually has the Avodah Zorah operative in the Beis HaMikdash, in the precinct of the Beis HaMikdash himself. It is a very, very terrible and corrupt rule that he leads. He's obviously doing this for security, because the more he adopts the Assyrian culture, the more he has security from the northern empire of Assyria that his father managed to stave off. And this is how he operates, until finally that in Melachim, where we're described it in Dirayamim as well, it describes how he's taken into captivity. Actually, this part is actually left out of Melachim. It's only described in the Dirayamim version of Dirayamim Beis Perek Lamed Gimel, in which he is brought to, it's not clear if this is Bavel or if this is Assyria at this moment in time, really Assyria is the dominion. Bavel's only going to rise a few decades later. But he's taken to captivity and he's being tortured. He's put into a pot and they're boiling him alive, at which time he turns to Hashem and begs for forgiveness. Hashem, actually the angels do not want to accept his prayers and block off his tefillos because he was so corrupt. And Hashem, so to speak, the Gemara describes in Sanhedrin, in Perek Chelek, how Hashem opens up a channel beneath his throne to accept his tefillos and miraculously saves him and brings him back to Yerushalayim, in which he is a reformed king, even though he's not able to avert the destruction based on his actions, but he himself personally lives the rest of his life as a reformed individual. And so the Malbim says that this Mizmor reflects that expression of being in this terrible situation of suffering, of torture, and also being able to escape that. It's fascinating. I'm just actually reading a book recently called Solitary, which is written by Captain Gior now, and who was the previous head of the Israeli Air Force, Giora Ram, who was a captain at the time, and he was downed over Egyptian territory. And his description of being in solitary confinement and the interrogations and the different methodologies the Egyptians used to extract information from him. And it's a remarkable thing to talk about the actual fear when he is able to describe it in a way where, even though he came out of it at the end, he's able to describe the intensity of the emotion and the fear and the strain and the tension of being under interrogation, of being in the enemy's hands. And when one reads that and one appreciates that, one can get just a sort of a window into, an aperture into, what Menashe must have been going through at this time and how intense the expression of this Mizmor really and truly is. In terms of the places in our tefillah this appears, Pasuk Tes is a pasuk which appears in the bracha after Kriya Shema at nighttime, which is Hasam Nafshenu B'chayim V'lo Nason Lamot Ragleinu, where we describe to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the translation goes as follows, He has kept us alive and not let our feet falter, which we say in the Mizmor after the bracha after the Kriya Shema. It is interesting that the Vilna Gaon actually does point out this is the Mizmor Shil Shil Yom on the sixth day of Pesach, obviously about to lead into the seventh day of Pesach, in which Kriyas Yam Suf happens, and that's what's referred to in this Mizmor. In terms of a Pasuk in the spotlight, if you take a look at Pasuk Yud, it's a very powerful line, Ki bachantonu elekim tzaraftonu kitzrov kasef Hashem, you have tried us, O God, you have refined us like one refines silver. The Malbim points out, the image over here is an extremely powerful one. How does one refine silver? You take a stone which has silver content in it, but you need to remove the dross. You need to remove the unrefined pieces of rocks. What do? You boil it up at an extremely high temperature and you smelt it, thereby allowing the dross to fall to the sides and pouring out the pure silver. But that boiling process is a very painful process if you were that rock. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu sometimes boils us up in life to refine us, and that's referring to the suffering that he's been through. And sometimes that suffering is in fact the refining process to extract the drops of silver within a much more corrupt and complicated lifestyle. Finally, the last pasuk in the spotlight is the last pasuk of the Mizmor, which is pasuk Chof, where it says, Baruch Elokim Asher Vayesir Tefilasi V'chastoy Me'itzi Hashem. Thank you for not removing my tefillah from me and your chesed from me. Now it makes sense to say that Hashem, thanking Hashem not to remove his kindness from us, but what does it mean not to remove my tefillah? The Me'ah Shilach, the Ishbitz Rebbe, the first Ishbitz Rebbe on Shmois, points out that where Vayizaku, that when Bnei Yisrael calls out, Vatal Shavasana Lekim in Avodah, the first time they called out in pain, heavenwards, was in fact a gift HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave them to be able to express their pain to Him. That's the first step of tefillah. Even if it's wordless, even if it's without specific direction, even without specific requests, the very fact that a person calls out in pain to Hashem is the first step of blessing, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu turns and focuses on that individual. And that's what we're saying to Hashem. Hashem, thank you for allowing us the opportunity of being able to pray. Going back to Giora Ram when he was in prison, the one thing he requested between his times in solitary confinement was a sidur. And he was able to pour himself through that sidur before it was confiscated for not cooperating, but to be able to turn to Hashem, to be able to turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the greatest gift that we possibly can have. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.